This message was recorded live at Lighthouse Christian Center in Puyallup, Washington, and is designed to inspire and encourage you in your Christian journey. To find out more about Lighthouse, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org.
Now, before we, as we start, I want to do something for you. I have a bell here, and I've been doing a lot of practicing, and I would like to play for you Mary Had a Little Lamb, okay? Here we go. Now, you know, but you have to admit that was good, but it did lack something. So I don't know. Can I get a few guys to come on up here? You know, I have some other bells. Maybe we could do better. I don't know. Which color? Just pick a color. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Okay. So Mary had a little lamb, okay. Oh! Right on! Okay. Okay. You know, I actually choose the pastoral staff on their ability. to do the bells, and we've just never had a chance to get with that. Now, some of you are going, Art, what is with the bells? Well, I know it's a humble word picture. It's a humble object lesson, but I think it's pretty clear that, you know, doing life on one note is not good, okay? We need other people to get the job done. We need other people in our lives to get the full song going in our lives. The relationships that we enjoy in God's church, the way that we serve together, partner together, relate to each other, man, that is a great part of life. And it's what's most important. It's what makes life truly worth living. And I've got to tell you, though, as important as Christian relationships are, Christian community is, as important as the people that I love are in my life, isn't it true that sometimes we kind of complain about God's people? And you know what I'm talking about. You know, you that person in the body that you think, oh, they should be doing better than they're doing. And sometimes we chafe at having to work with somebody who's a lot different than we are. Man, I wish they were more like me, okay? We complain sometimes. We even get irritated by our closest brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes. And we when they're not living up to our expectations. Well, what the Apostle Paul is going to do to help us in these first few verses of the book of Philippians, he is going to help us with an attitude. He demonstrates for us what our attitude needs to be concerning the community of God's people, just the people in a local church, the people who are part of your group. Paul is writing to a church at Philippi, and a church that he has founded. Man, he loves these people. He has had history with these people. And in these few verses in chapter 1, Paul begins the book by demonstrating what attitude that you and I need to have about Christian community. And again, it's not so much what Paul says, it's how he demonstrates the value that he places on Christian community. And in fact, as we begin this book, we're going to see four actions that Paul just clearly is giving us here. Paul was clearly saying the Christian community is so valuable. We ought to value it. We ought to value it. And from the beginning in the book of Philippians, we're going to see what it takes to have the good life. Do you remember that in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that you would have life and have it to the full? Do you remember that? Well, that's what Jesus was talking about, the good life. You remember that in 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy, listen, would you take hold of life that is truly life? He's talking about the good life. And what Paul is going to tell us here is, man, Community, Christian community, is one of the number one building blocks of the good life that God has for us. And then he demonstrated, well, here's four actions, four ways that you can demonstrate value for this community, for God's people, actions that we can learn. And the first way to express value that we see demonstrated here, he just demonstrates a consistently grateful attitude for the good that he saw in the members of his Christian community. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 3. We'll see what happens here. Look what it says. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. I always pray for you and make my requests with a heart full of joy because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. Well, what Paul says here in verse 3 is key. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. He was just consistently grateful for the people at Philippi. And you know what I'm talking about. He's just saying, hey, when you come to mind, I don't think about all your failures. I don't think about all the ways you let me down. I don't think about the mistakes that you made. I don't dwell on your weaknesses at all. When I think of you, I just give thanks to God for the good things that I see. And then, by the way, he gives a clear specific. Look what he says. He says, I always remember how you have been partners in spreading the good news. You see that term partners? It comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is koinonia. Some of you have heard that Greek word before. It basically means sharing or participating together in something or with someone. But, you know, when you go throughout the entire New Testament, man, the word koinonia has a whole wide range of ideas. But basically, in every one of those ideas, it's describing the close connection between believers, the partnership between believers. And the Philippian partnership, probably, how did they support Paul as he preached the gospel? They probably, they were there for him when it was tough. They probably supported him financially. They prayed for him, and they were all over this thing. They were his partners. And what did Paul say? Man, I think back in our time together, I just remember how great you were. You were my partners. Now, you might say, well, hey, it's easy for Paul. He was writing to New Testament Christians, man, who really loved the Lord. I mean, they actually gave him a reason to be thankful. Well, that's true. They did. It's true. But the Philippians were not perfect. Like all believers, some of them were not, you know, quite right. Paul chose to focus on the things that he could be grateful for. Do you know there are a small group of Christians here at Lighthouse that helped me begin this church? And that was 18 years ago. And then part of that group was just those who came over those first two or three years. And that group, I feel so grateful for them. And I have so much joy when I think of them and pray for them. Those are the people that partnered with me. Now, ask the question, are those people all perfect? The answer, resoundingly, no, they are not. If you ask them, has Arthur been perfect during these 18 years? They would say, no, Arthur has not been perfect. He has made mistakes. Okay, there he is. But I want to tell you something. We have chosen to focus on the things that we are grateful for in each other. When I think of them again, my heart is filled with joy. You say, well, Art, but people at Philippi, they may have had some weaknesses, but they weren't doing any big screw-ups, were they? You know? Well, how do you know? You know, how do you know that? Remember, Paul wrote to the Romans. He said the same thing to the Romans. Look at Romans 1:18. How I thank God through Jesus Christ for each one of you. Okay, same thing, same attitude of gratefulness. But what was he, if you read the book of Romans, what do you see? You see people who are squabbling. You see some difficulties, people who are not getting along. What does Paul say again? No, I choose to see those good things in you. He chose an attitude of gratefulness. He chose an attitude of thankfulness. And you know what? Because he did, he learned to enjoy those people. Look at verse 4. I always pray for you, and I make my requests, what? With a heart full of joy. Man, when you learn to be grateful for what the good you do see in people, you begin to enjoy them. Guys, I got to tell you something. If you're not enjoying God's people, probably has something to do with a lack of gratitude for those people. Because your attitude is going to affect how you see the Christian community, and even your involvement. Some of you got hurt at some time by somebody in the Christian community. And instead of kind of, working with that and moving through it, you just said, oh man, God's people aren't worth it. And you just backed off. And Paul's saying, no, come on. Choose that attitude of gratefulness. You say, well, Art, what happens at Lighthouse? What do we see there? Well, will there be some times when you get offended by someone in your Christian community at Lighthouse? Oh, yeah. Count on it. Count on it, okay? And hopefully they're going to make it right with you when they mess up. But what if they're not mature enough to do that? What if they're still growing in Christ? Well, you're going to have to cover it. Will there be people who do not meet your expectations at Lighthouse? Oh, yeah. Count on it, man. Hopefully they'll grow. But sometimes it may be that your expectations are out of line or they just won't be met. Look at the principle being demonstrated here. Be grateful. Be thankful for the good you do see. In other words, don't let the negatives outweigh the good things. Ask yourself right now, when I think of the people in my Christian community, am I grateful mostly for the good I see, or do I often center on the deficits that I see? You know, do I concentrate on the good qualities, or do I think often of how, what they lack? The fact is, to some degree, now guys, this is true, to some degree, memories are a choice. What we choose to remember is a choice. You don't have to deny the fact that they hurt you or you deny the fact that they're imperfect, but I'm telling you, you can choose to focus on the good qualities in that person. Let me tell you that something that happened to Naomi and I in 1980. I was just going to seminary, and I had not a nickel to my name, and so I had to find a job just before I was going to start seminary. So we moved to Portland, and I was looking for jobs, and I finally found this church. They had been trying to write an Easter play, a drama, but the people who were doing it were inexperienced, so they were ground to a halt. And so the pastor said, listen, would you write this drama, and then would you direct and produce this drama in the church so that we can have a Easter drama? And we'll pay you, I think it was $500 or $600, whatever it was. Well, hey, I got busy, I wrote the thing, I directed it, produced it. Naomi was making costumes, and it was just a whole big production. We got it done. And so it came out very, very well. But the problem was, they did not pay me, okay? I went to the pastor and said, okay, hey, great job. He said, I'm sorry, Art, we don't have any money. We're not going to be able to pay you. And, wow, that was difficult. So what did I do? I'm not kidding you. What did I do? I'll tell you what we did. We attended that church for 6 more months. Now, I got a job at another church while I was in seminary. So basically, churches want you to attend when they hire you. It's a pretty big deal. So I had to leave the church. But we spent 6 months there, and we said, there are so many good things that we see in the people of this community, and we're not going to let this problem, and it was a pretty big problem. We talked to them about it. It was a pretty big problem. We're not going to let that destroy the beginning Christian community that we're beginning to develop here. Now, friends, hopefully at Lighthouse, no one who is going to neglect to give you money that they owe you, okay? I hope that doesn't happen. But I'm here to tell you that if you're involved with God's people, they will sometimes disappoint you, they will sometimes hurt you, they will sometimes make mistakes. What's Paul's example? He chose to focus on the things, the good things that he had received from those people. Yes, you need to confront things when they happen. You need to take care of problems. But don't allow that problem to take away your joy in what God is doing in that person. You say, some of you are going, well, Art, in order to be really grateful for somebody, shouldn't they have to do something really good? Okay? Well, with that standard, guys, you're always going to be critical. You're never going to be grateful. Somebody can do something for you and say, well, they should have done better. It's like your child brings you this, your 3-year-old brings you this thing they have colored. And what do you say to them? That's stupid. There's no picture there. It's just a bunch of colors. What are you trying to do here? Go back. Come back when you're 9 and you can draw a picture. Do you say that? No, you say, oh, this is good. Boy, look, it's so colorful. You think of things to say, okay? All I'm telling you, don't be like the parent whose child can never be good enough for them, okay? Perfect people don't exist. The people at Lighthouse are not perfect. But Paul remembered one great thing. Man, you were partners. I so appreciate that about you. I love you for that. Thanks so much. In general, you can remember something about the people in your life. Listen, your Christian community, you can't be a community with everybody at Lighthouse, but God, you can find the people at Lighthouse with whom you relate, who you begin to love. You can find that small group. And when you do, just know they're not going to be perfect. In fact, look around at the church right now. Just look around the people all around you. Just go ahead. Turn your head. Look. Every single one of those guys has quirks. Okay? Every one of them. But there is also much to be grateful for in that person. And if Christian community, and it is one of the building blocks of the good life, and it is, what Paul is demonstrating is the way that you protect that, the way you value that community, one of the ways is this, that you have this attitude of gratefulness for them. It's a way of expressing value. But it's not the only way to express value. In fact, as you go on in this passage, Paul, you know, models for us another way to express value. And it's just simply this. He expresses the understanding that all of God's people are in process. Now, really, this relates to the first issue of being grateful. But it goes further. Look what it says in verse 6. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Paul expressed value for the Christian community at Philippi because he looked not just at their past and particularly their failures. Man, he looked at each believer's future. Viewing people from that the perspective of who is God making them into. Paul is just saying clearly, God started something in you when you got saved. His grace, His Holy Spirit came into your life. His grace touched your life. That was wonderful. But then he says, and by the way, that's not all. Look what he says in the verse. The same God who began the work in you is going to continue his work. The day that you and I received Jesus Christ, you know what happened? Something began in our life, and you could call it a number of things, but it's basically transformation happening, okay? It's something that God is doing, and it's often called in the Bible, it's called sanctification. Sanctification means simply this, that when we respond to God, we become more and more free from sin and more like Christ in our actual lives. But guess what? Does it happen overnight? No. It happens a little bit at a time. It's a process. But here's what's so exciting, according to what Paul said. Look at it. Man, the process is going to reach its culmination on the day when Christ Jesus comes back again. Look at verse 6. God will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ returns. Man, he began the work of grace. He's continuing the work of grace. And one day it will culminate when I see him. In fact, that's exactly what 1 John says. Look what it says in 1 John 3. Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. When Christ comes again, man, the process is complete. And until then, what does it say? You and I are in process. That's what Paul is saying. I'm confident. I'm absolutely sure that God is going to continue to work in you, and the process is going to come to completion one day. I mean, he's expressing confidence in that. He knew that what God started, he was going to finish through our hang-ups, through our faults, through our bad decisions, through our sins, man. And you know what the lesson is for us? Look at Paul's example. You know what the lesson is for us as believers? Since God isn't finished with any of us, man, we need to show patience with each other. We need to show understanding that the members of our circle, the members of our Christian community, the people that we love, that care about us, that are the people that we know and pray for and are part of our community, man, they are in process. Every single one of us should wear a sign around our neck saying, under construction, okay? That would be good, okay? And we've got to value people where they're at. Do you know, many times, I've done hundreds of weddings, And almost at every wedding, I say something like this. Listen, you are about to vow to love this person as they are, not as they should be. And that's a pretty big vow. Well, believers, we need to do that too. We need to value the members of our community as they are, not as they should be. Again, think of your own children. Here's your one-year-old sitting at the high chair eating food. It's all over their face. You don't say, I can't believe how messy you are. Look at that drool. Look at the crud all over you. No, you don't. You say, why don't you? Well, number one, you love your little baby. But number two, you have expectation that they are going to be growing. That when they're five, they'll not still have, it all over their face. Some of you are going, yeah. No, it's eight that happens. Okay. But most of us would admit, most of us, I'm not the person I want to be. I'm not the person I could be. Most of us would admit that. But we can also say, if we're believers, thank God I'm not the person I'm going to be. I'm growing. I'm changing. I'm trying to cooperate with God for growth. And the thing that's so wonderful about this passage is Paul was just confident. He was just saying, guys, I have confidence. Look what he says. I'm sure of God's process. Something that Paul would never say? He would never have said something like, that person will never change. I hate that kind of talk. It's so defeatist. It just says, no, God can't work in your life. And that's not true. You want to value the Christian community here at Lighthouse and learn to enjoy that Christian community? You want to do that? Here's the attitude. The people of Lighthouse, the people of my community are in process. And I'm going to be patient with that process. You know what I've noticed? That we are most impatient with people in the areas that we are strong in. Have you noticed that? We're most impatient in the areas that we are really good at. And we forget about the areas that we are not so good at. And I just want you to know, just think of it. When you're being impatient with someone about some area of their life, you can be sure that someone could be just as easily impatient with you on another area. Let me give you a classic example. Everybody here is somewhere on a continuum when it comes to task or relationship. Some people are totally task-oriented. Man, they are outcome-oriented. They tend to be people maybe who are a little more blunt because they want to get the job done. They can sometimes run over people a little bit because they may say, hey, it's the task. The task is important. Let's get that job done. And, being task-oriented is a tremendous strength, but it can also be a weakness. Then there are people who are more interested in the relationship. And these are the people who are just, when you're doing a group task, they're the people who are trying to make everybody happy all the time. And they are the people who will listen to you, and they're sensitive to you, and that's, they're just made that way. And the task people, the people who are interested in the task, are thinking, these guys are not getting the job done. Oh, with all this touchy-feely stuff. What's going on here? Okay? The bottom line, the task people are part of the community, and the relationship people are part of the community. They're both needed, and hopefully they're both growing to be more balanced. But in the meantime, we need to show value for each of those people. We need to know, that person is a little blunt because they're interested in getting the job done. I could withdraw from them, or I can say, oh, no, they're part of my community. I will value them and allow them to be in process. And that's the way the church functions. I'll tell you a way in which people had to be patient with me a couple of weeks ago. You remember 2 weeks ago we invited new members in here? Well, 2 weeks ago on Saturday night, I had new members here, about 10 of them, and I forgot to invite them into membership, okay? So the very thing that, what do you want to do when you have new members? Come on, we want to say we value you. Come here, tell us your name, who are you? We're glad you're a part of things. But instead of that, I sent the opposite message. I forget you. That's not a good message. So I wrote them all. I wrote them all an email. I just claimed that I had post-vacation amnesia. That's all I could say, And you know, and fortunately, they were all very gracious to me, and I think they were saying, oh, art's in process. He makes mistakes. Well, guys, we are all in process. And if we're going to be a healthy church, man, we've got to love people where they're at. Do you know that we tend, here's the bottom line. We tend to judge people on the basis of how far they have to go rather than how far they have come. Isn't that true? Wouldn't it be better to judge people in the main on how far they have come, not how far they have to go? And Paul's example is pretty clear. This Christian community deal, it's so amazing. It's a part of the richness of life. It's the building block of the good life to have people in my life that I serve with and can count on and can do life with. And so to do that, man, we got to know they're in process. Now, there's a third way here that Paul expresses value for that beautiful community. And it's very simple. We won't spend much time on it. It's just simply he expresses love for the people. He actually tangibly expresses it. Now, we're not going to spend much time on this, but look at verse 7 and 8. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for you, all of you, with the affection of Christ Jesus. Now, this isn't rocket science here, guys. Just read the words, and what is it demonstrating? This is simply a heartfelt expression of love. The simple thing I want you to see here is that expressing feelings of love for brothers and sisters in Christ is a way to express value, and often high value. Now, he actually says those words. You know, I have you in my heart. I feel so deeply for you. I feel so much affection for you. Now, some of you are going, well, Art, are you telling us that we all have to turn into touchy-feely people and, you know, where we're all just gushing over each other? No. Maybe not touchy-feely, but would you begin to be expressive in your own way? That's reasonable, isn't it? Hey, I have a Christian community. I can be expressive in my own way to express high value to those people. So, you know, whether it's a hug, whether it's taking time to express appreciation or saying I'm proud of you or whatever it would be. Paul's example is pretty radical. Look, the verb translated feel here in verse 7, this word is kind of a complicated word because it not only means feeling, it also indicates the idea of setting your mind on something or being intent on something. So this word includes both feeling and thought. It's both mind and emotion. So the reason I tell you that is because this word means that Paul not only felt something for those Philippians, but he also expressed that. He planned how to express it. And it was very clear. He did it verbally in this passage. And it's all summed up in this wonderful phrase, I have you in my heart. Isn't that a tender thing to say to somebody? That's a pretty tender thing to say. It really just means, hey, you just hold such a special place in my heart. It's very clear. And then the verb in verse 8, that verb I long, that also is a strong word. It means intense yearning. He's just saying, man, only God knows how I long for you with the very heart of Jesus, the very affection of Jesus. Now, friends, let's be honest. Let's be honest about this. This kind of expression, that can't happen on demand, right? I mean, we can't say that kind of thing to somebody I just met 2 weeks ago. In fact, if you do, they're going to look at you really weird and kind of wondering what you're getting at, okay? So, obviously, this is something that grows over time. It's something that happens through time together, through service, through love, through many, many things. But value is expressed in God's family when that kind of love is expressed. And by the way, it can be expressed in different ways. Now, I've said verbally here, you can express it, and that's a good thing, but love can be expressed non-verbally too. When a promised land teacher is praying for her kids, and those kids come into class, and she or he puts their arms around them and loves on them, and that's expressing love. When a home group leader thinks about their flock and begins to serve that little flock. You know, that's expression of love. All of it is there, but Paul's phrase, I have you in my heart, man, says a lot about his relationship. It means that it was a pretty deep relationship. I have you in my heart. And here's something I learned over time. Guys, here's what I've learned. If you don't have people in your heart, pretty soon they get on your nerves. Okay? That is really true. You don't have them on your heart, they get on your nerves. And instead of the things I've been talking about, instead of value, man, we back off. Now, it's really wonderful to see Paul's example. He's saying, value this building block, value community, and I'm going to show you how I'm doing it. He shows us one other way. He just simply prays for the people in his Christian community. If you want to express value, then pray for the people in your Christian community. Look what it says in verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and in full insight, and to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Now guys, you ever wondered why Jesus told us to pray even for our enemies? I think it's because he knew the principle: when you pray for someone, you are making an investment in that person. And when you make an investment in someone or in something, you begin to care about that investment. If you put a big sum of money in the stock market, guess what? You would begin to think about the stock market. You'd begin to look up, oh, I wonder how the stock market did today. You'd be reading investor news. You'd be doing it all. Why? Because, very clearly, when you invest in something, you begin to care about it. You know what? That's exactly what Jesus meant in Matthew 6:21. Look what it says. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart and thoughts be also. You make an investment, you begin to care. You begin to pay attention. You begin to have a commitment. And so I just encourage you, man, a way to express value is find the people in your, who are in my community, and begin to pray for them. Remember, community is a building block of the good life. And it enriches our life in so many different ways. And so we need to pray. And Paul's prayer here, we don't have time today, unfortunately, to go through it. But what a rich prayer. The one thing I will tell you is this. When you pray for your community, don't just pray for their financial needs or other needs. Would you pray for their spiritual lives? Because if you examine the prayers of Paul all through the New Testament, over and over again, very seldom does he say, Lord, would you make provision, financial provision for the Philippians or Colossians or whoever. But he always prays a prayer for their inner life. And so I encourage you, you know, Paul's prayer here, I'm praying. Look, you know what, if you read verse 9 and 10, you know what he's really saying? He's just saying, he's requesting for the Philippians that they would grow in their ability to express love, and that would be consistent, it would show a knowledge of God's will, and so that when they do that, it would help them determine what was best to do in life, and then when they stood before Jesus Christ one day, they could stand before him with no excuses. I mean, what a prayer. So if you think about your own life, think about your community. Oh, Lord, I'm going to pray for, you know, my brother and sister, Joe and Mary. And, Lord, you know, I want to pray for this need in their life. But then, Lord, I pray for their love for each other. Would you help their love to each other grow more and more? Would you help their love for each other to be able to honor you? Would you strengthen them to be able to do what it takes to serve one another? That's a good prayer for the people in your community, because you know them. And you know what they need. Do you know something? Christian community, the connectedness and the interdependence that we have with God's people in the church is such an unbelievably crucial part of the good life. The relationships that we possess, man, encourage us, they support us, they urge us on in the faith. And those relationships, again, they add so much richness to our lives. And here's Paul's example. He says clearly, value the community and express value for that community. So be grateful. Come on, understand people are in process. Express your love and even pray for the people in your community. Listen, guys, I think in all of my life as a believer, when I think back on my life, one of the most important things has been the people that God has brought into my life. the community of people that got people who cared about me. They loved Art just like he was, not as he should have been. And they were there when I was sick or when I was in trouble. Our love for each other is one of the building blocks of the good life. Let's take care of it, can we? Let's take care of it. Let's value it. And let's express that value.
We trust you are inspired and challenged by this message. For additional resources and information about Lighthouse Christian Center and its ministries, check out our website at www.lighthousehome.org or contact us at 253-848-2028.